Today I'm continuing to talk about the laws that govern healing. Faith and healing don't come just at the whim of God. He decides who receives and who doesn't. There's laws that you have to comply with in order to receive. This will help you, so stay tuned for the Gospel Truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series on healing. This is the end of my fifth week teaching on the subject of healing. And today, we are teaching about the laws of faith. That there are laws that govern the kingdom of God. There are spiritual laws, just like there are physical laws. And God doesn't just reach down and indiscriminately heal people based on how He feels about them or what they're doing. There are laws that govern how things work. And I gave an introduction to this yesterday. I'm going to continue this today, but this is a powerful, powerful truth. Let me just also mention that next week is going to be the end of my 6 weeks of teaching on this subject of healing. Not because we've exhausted the subject. I've actually run through this pretty quickly, and I have at least 4 or 5 other teaching albums that deal directly with this subject of healing. And so I haven't exhausted this at all, but we've got some other things coming up, and I'm going to go on to another subject. So anyway, we're coming to a close of this teaching on healing, and I really encourage you to get the products. I think they would be a blessing. Now, yesterday from Romans chapter 3, verse 27, I talked about the law of faith, that there are laws that govern how faith operates. Let me take an example from Mark chapter 5 to illustrate how this works. This is where a woman came to Jesus desiring healing. And yet she never mentioned anything to Him. She didn't approach Him directly. She actually came up from behind and touched the hem of His garment. And the power of God just flowed through Him. And she was instantly healed of an issue of blood that she had had in her body for many years. So that's the background. Here is Mark chapter 5. And in verse 25, it says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years... and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment, for she said, 'If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And His disciples said unto Him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?'" You know, we don't have the benefit of hearing the inflection of their voice, but I can imagine this being a scolding type of thing. Like, you see the multitude of people and you're asking who touched you? Like, in that tone of voice, it's like, you know, what in the world are you talking about? In verse 32, it says, "And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" Now, not only is this a tremendous story of healing for this woman, this is really unusual in the fact that this woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and this virtue, means power, flowed out of Him into her, and she was healed, and He didn't know who had touched her. Now, this brings up some theological issues, and you know what? I am not a theologian. I've spent my entire life studying the Word of God. And I consider myself to be a person that knows a lot about the Bible. I consider myself to have revelation from God. But, you know, when you use the term theologian, you talk about people who've been... I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but a lot of theology, I can't even pronounce it, much less explain it, but a lot of theology is just impractical stuff about these abstract concepts. Can God create something so big that He can't move it? Those kind of questions. That's theology. To me, that is absolutely useless to try and figure out that kind of stuff. And anyway, according to theology, Of course, Jesus knows all things. And so this was a rhetorical question when he said, "Who touched me?" Because, of course, he knows everything. But you know what? I don't care what theology says. The Bible shows, like in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. In the same way that Jesus was born a baby and his body had to grow, he was not an adult man. He didn't have a beard when he was born. Amen. He wasn't 6 feet tall when he was born. He was born a baby and he had to grow. To me, that doesn't take away from him being divine. In his spirit, he was divine, but he had a physical body that had to grow. And in that same verse, Luke 2:52, where it talks about him growing physically, it says he had to increase in wisdom. That means Jesus didn't know everything. Now, I believe that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that. I believe Jesus was Christ. He was Lord at his birth. That's what the angel said about him in Luke chapter 1. So I don't believe that Jesus grew into becoming God. I don't believe that his deity increased. But the spirit man isn't limited by the same things that the physical body is. I believe Jesus' spirit was perfect and complete at birth. He was God Almighty. But his physical body, including his mind, had to grow and had to learn. He increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Now, I don't know what that does to some people's theology. The theologian I've heard discuss things, this really upsets them. They think that this was just Jesus playing with this woman who touched me, but the truth is he knows all things. I believe that in the spirit man, Jesus certainly had that ability and was God. But I believe that in his physical body, in his physical mind, he didn't know who touched him. That's what it looks like. There is no reason to believe that this was anything else. Jesus had a woman sneak up from the behind, touched him on the hem of the garment. The virtue flowed out of Jesus into her. She got healed, and he didn't even know who she was. He had to turn around. And of course, when she wasn't forthcoming, then Jesus drew on this God ability that was on the inside of him, the same way that we could draw on it. And he was able to perceive who the person was, and she saw that she wasn't hidden, and so she came forward and confessed it. I'm not saying that Jesus wasn't God in the spirit, but I am saying that he didn't know all things in his physical mind. Now, again, that bothers some people's theology, but I am not a theologian. I'm just a person who studies the Word, and if the Word says it, that's fine with me. I don't have to conform it to some abstract concept that, somehow or another, I've got to justify. To me, I am just absolutely thrilled and content with the Word of God the way that it is. And so, here's my point. If this is as the Bible says that it is, she came up, touched him from behind. He felt, he discerned the virtue flow out of him, but he didn't know who it went to because he turned around and he says, "Who touched me?" If he didn't know who touched him. Now, this brings out a really important truth. And that is that the Lord didn't size this woman up and say, "Well, boy, you are zealous. You have been living holy. You have prayed. You have gone to church. You have paid your tithes. You've lived holy. And so because you've done so well, I'm going to release this healing power into you." Nope, he didn't size her up. He didn't even know who it was that touched her. This virtue just flowed out of him into her, and that reveals that faith or virtue, you could say healing, anointing, power, flows by law. Just exactly the same as I used this example on our program yesterday. When a person picks up a live wire, it's not the electric company who has anything personal against them that wants to shock them or kill them. It's just laws. And if you have electricity pumped into a wire, if it's exposed and if a person touches it who is grounded, well, then that electricity will shock them, possibly kill them. And it wasn't personal. It's just laws that govern how it operates. This woman didn't approach Jesus from the front, tell him her need, He didn't evaluate her, size her up, and stamp approve, therefore flip the switch and release healing. There are just laws that govern how healing functions. And if you put those laws into motion, they will work for you. Also, those laws will work against you. Again, I can go back to this example of electricity. Electricity, we have these electric plants and we deliver electricity into homes because of the benefit. It heats your home, it turns on lights, it runs appliances. Electricity can be a very useful thing if you cooperate with the laws, but if you violate the laws, let's say that you just go out there and these electrical lines that come into your house, you just reach up with a pole and touch one, you know, a bare connection against that. Those same laws that help you can kill you. And it's the same thing. The laws that govern healing, if you understand what they are, you can begin to release them and boom, the power of God just flows because that is God's will for you to be well. But if you violate those same laws that were intended to be a blessing to you can kill you. You know, I'm jumping a little bit ahead of myself. I'll come back to this next week, but let me just say we're going to talk about this in more detail, that one of the laws that governs faith is words. God created the heavens and the earth by words. He said in Proverbs chapter 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life, not just one, but both. You can either speak death or life. There is power in our words. Most people don't believe that. And since they don't believe it, most people say a lot of stupid things. A lot of people say, healing won't work for me. I don't know if God will heal me or not. I'm just hoping and praying, but I'll probably die of it. There's a lot of people that it may be ignorance that they say that. There may be other people that have heard people like me quote scriptures that say death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you just choose to say, I don't believe that. But you know what? It's still a law of God. And so if you go around and start speaking out what you feel, what the doctor says about you, what has been family history, and you go ahead and speak those things, you may not put much faith in it, but it's still a law. It's just like the person who's touching an electrical wire. They may not have really believed that the electric company is going to send a shock out there and kill them or something, but it doesn't matter. If all of the laws are in place, it can happen whether you believe it or not. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You're going to see that in the example of this woman, the things that she said. And see, there are laws that govern the healing power of God and how it works. And most of us don't even know what these laws are. If we've heard about them, we aren't very diligent with them. We approach it in a blasé fashion and then wonder why things work. You know, one of the things that I've learned being around electricity is that you ignore the laws that govern electricity to your own peril. I guarantee you get sloppy. You get to where if you're working with live electrical wires and if you aren't paying attention, you run a very good chance of being electrocuted or killed. You need to pay attention. You can't take it just, and you can't fool around with it. You wouldn't want your children playing and sticking things into electrical outlets because I guarantee you that's dangerous. You do things. You put covers over those things to prevent kids from doing that. You spank kids about it. You tell them no because you know what? It's dangerous and you have to teach people to be responsible. But then when it comes to the spiritual realm, again, most people don't have this concept of faith being governed by laws. And so they just approach it and they don't really know much of what they're doing. They're just in there throwing a prayer around wondering if it'll work. And they have no idea. I mean, absolutely any idea of how anything is going to work. They're just in there wishing and hoping. And I guarantee you, more often than not, they're violating the laws that govern how faith works. And that's the reason that it happens. So this is one of the things I get out of this story is that this woman, she put into motion the laws that governed how faith was released. And because of that, healing flowed before Jesus had time to size her up and to evaluate her and decide, all right, I'll grant you healing. No, it's not on that basis. It's not God that heals a person because they are special and they've done so good and God loved them and so He just wanted to bless them. No, God feels the same about all of us. And it's not God who fails to heal another person. And sometimes lack of understanding this causes people to become bitter at God and think, well, God, this was one of the most godly persons I've ever met. If anybody ever loved God, if anybody ever helped other people, it was this one. And God didn't answer her prayers. They just died. And people take offense over that. If you understand that God runs His kingdom by laws, that healing is released according to laws of faith, then you can understand that, God, I know it isn't your fault. If something happened, it's my fault. You know, when I was, before I got married, when I was living at my mother's home, I was converting her garage into a place where we held Bible studies. We put 100 people in that garage. And so I leveled the floor, poured more concrete. I put up paneling. I did a lot of things. And I put in a light. And I remember that this ceiling light in that garage, I went and turned breakers off until that light that was in the garage went off. And then I was standing on a table and on a step stool on top of that table, and I was working with this thing and hooking up a new light. And I had turned off the breaker, so I would assume that there wasn't any electricity there. So here I was working on this, and I mean all of a sudden I got shocked. It knocked me in the air. I flew off of that table, landed on my back on that floor, and I mean it just, it put a fear in me of electricity. And after that, I went and checked. The breaker was still off. I was just convinced that you can't trust electricity. It just, who knows why, what happens, but you can't trust it. Because I turned the breaker off, the light went off, and yet something was still alive in that socket. So what I had to do was go get an electrician. And an electrician came out there and started working on it, and I told him what had happened. He says, well, that shouldn't have happened. If you turn the breaker off, there shouldn't be any electricity. And I told him what happened. So he got up there and he got his volt ohm meter and put it on this stuff. And there was a wire up there that was live. And he says, I don't know why this wire is there. He got up in the attic and traced it. And this is not an exaggeration. On the opposite end of the house, they ran a wire from something at the very opposite end of the house all the way across the rafters and plugged it in to that deal. Now, it shouldn't have been done that way, but it was. And there was a rational explanation for why I got shocked. But you know what? At my first inventory of that situation, I was just convinced that you can't trust electricity. And I mean, because I've been shocked so many times that when I work on something electrical, I not only turn off that one breaker, I turn off all of the breakers. If I could, I'd chop the pole down behind the house and disconnect the wires because I just don't understand electricity the way I should. And because of it, something happens. But there, if you know what you're doing, it's not like that at all. There are laws that govern it. I remember one time I was working on remodeling a person's bathroom. And I had to put in a new electrical light. And there was water on the floor where we had taken out the sink and the toilet. And there was some water. So there was standing water. And I was dealing with this electrical thing. Man, I turned off everything in their whole house. And the man, he says, you don't need to do that. And I said, I'm not going to get shocked. And he says, if you know what you're doing, it's not a problem. So he was just standing there in normal shoes in a pool of water, and he turned the electricity back on. It was live. And he unhooked the light fixture that they had and put a new one in with all of the wires live standing in a pool of water. I said, that's crazy. And he said, not if you know what you're doing. And apparently he knew what he was doing, but I didn't know what I was doing. I still go chop the pole down out behind the house. But my point is that, see, if you have enough knowledge and know what you're doing, it doesn't just jump on you. It doesn't happen accidentally. There are laws that govern all of this. And likewise, you may not know as much about faith as I know. And from your perspective, it may look like that. Why does God move sometimes and not move the other? Why does He heal one and not heal another? I'm trying to get across that there are laws that govern all of this. You may not know what they are. It may not be the way you thought that it was represented or something. But if It isn't working, there's a reason why it isn't working. If it is working, there is a reason why it's working. Faith is not hit and miss. Healing is not something that's weird or spooky. There are laws that govern how the kingdom works. And I get that out of this example of this woman coming to Jesus, touching His garment. He didn't have time to size her up. He didn't say yes or no based on her performance. He was just flowing in the power of God. And if somebody was grounded in faith, boom, that power just flowed instantly. Man, that blesses me. That encourages me. That encourages me to get in and to learn what these laws are so that, praise God, I can start benefiting from it and flowing in those same laws towards other people. Boy, that's powerful. So let's look at some of these things. Let's go back again. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment." The very first thing I want to point out is Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Here's a law of God. You cannot operate in faith if you haven't heard the Word of God. Faith comes through hearing God's Word. It says right here that she heard of Jesus. Now, in her situation, somebody didn't quote Mark chapter 5, verse 25. They didn't quote a written passage, but they heard the Word about Jesus, how He was the Son of God, and how He could heal. They heard, she heard. There were other examples where people just touched Jesus and were healed. So I believe that that Word had spread. She had heard other accounts of people just touching, and so she heard, and through that hearing, the spark of faith was planted on the inside of her. So if this is one of the laws that govern it, is that you have to hear, then you know what? You ought to be much, much, much more emphasis on us hearing the Word of God, studying it, reading it for ourselves. And let me conversely flip this coin over and show you the other side, that unbelief also comes by hearing. I could spend time that I don't have on today's program making this point. But in the same way that you have to hear the Word of God and hear the truth to receive faith, you have to hear the doubt and the unbelief and the criticism of this world before you get as full of unbelief as we are. And so we not only need to start listening to God, but you need to evaluate what it is that you're watching and listening to. There's a lot of people that will listen to music that you say, "Oh, it's just the beat. I'm not worried about what they say." And yet they're talking about terrible things, killing cops, gangster stuff. They're talking about homosexuality, adultery, lying, stealing, hatred, getting drunk, falling off the bar stool, things that is just total unbelief, things that war against your healing, and you just let that in. Faith comes by hearing, whether it's faith in the right thing or faith in the wrong thing. You listen to ungodliness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Don't be deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners." You got to quit listening to that junk and start listening to the right stuff. You know, I'm out of time today, but we are going to continue this teaching on our program next week. And this could really, really help you. So I encourage you to join me on Monday as we continue and start our final week of teaching on this God Wants You Well. And also listen as our announcer gives you this information about how you can get the album, the fourth teaching in the album as a free gift, a booklet about God Wants You Well, and also this DVD entitled Healing Journeys, Volume 1. Listen as our announcer gives you that information and call or write today.
Andrew's teaching titled God Wants You Well has impacted thousands of people, producing miracles of healing around the world. We've collected 5 miracle stories in one DVD that will inspire you and supercharge your faith. You'll witness the powerful recovery of Nikki Oshinsky after a 5-year illness, plus a brand new interview filmed 7 years later. You'll be inspired by the Petersons' year-long journey to see their son Jason receive a dramatic healing. and Shirley Vaughn's fight for total health against a lifelong digestive disorder. Rejoice at Leslie and Mary Decker's healings from asthma and the Terades family's journey to seeing their daughter Hannah snatched from the jaws of death. The DVD is titled Healing Journeys Volume 1, and it's available for a gift of any amount when you request item number T3005D. The teaching that lies behind each of these miracles is Andrew's four-part album titled God Wants You Well. It's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for album T1036 and be sure to specify whether you'd like a CD album or a DVD album made from our television programs. The fourth teaching in the series is also available for a donation. But if you're unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. Request teaching TI4 titled The Laws of Faith when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
I'd like to encourage you to please get these products that we're offering because I believe that this is going to make a huge difference. I guarantee you, you could be well and see other people get well if you just receive this revelation. We have a teaching on this in CD form, cassette form. We also have it in DVD as recorded here on television, and that would be a tremendous resource. We have a little booklet that is entitled God Wants You Well, and it has some testimonies in it. We also have this Healing Journeys. Please listen as our announcer gives you this information.
The best way to reach us is through our website at awmi.net, or you can use credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. We hope to hear from you today. Coming to Caris Bible College this fall, the School of Worship and Music Ministry with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc.
The blending of our ministries together, what a joy for us, because to work with a ministry like Andrew and Jamie that love God's Word and they love worship. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs. The teaching of the Word of God that we've sat under in the Andrew's ministry has really influenced our writing so much.
We have just added a brand new dynamic to our Caris Bible College, and that is that Charlie and Jill LeBlanc, who have been traveling with me for many years, and they have now joined up with our Caris Bible College to open up a school of worship and music ministry. And I tell you, they are powerful, and there's just so many things that they've learned in like 30-something years of ministry that they're going to be able to impart into people's lives.
New this fall at Caris Bible College, the School of Worship and Music Ministry with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc. Call or write for more information. Anna has a heart to reach the lost, but she needs help getting started. Sean feels a call to the ministry, but he also feels unprepared. Ben and Maggie have been Christians for a long time, but in their golden years, they want a deeper relationship with the Lord. Are you like Anna or Sean or Ben and Maggie? If so, take the next step. Call, write, or go to our website and ask for the Caris Bible College brochure and DVD. Andrew Womack founded Caris Bible College to help you discover your destiny. There is joy and fulfillment awaiting you, the kind that only comes from knowing you are doing what God created you to do. Take that first step today. Call, write, or go to the website and ask about CBC.